much. I pulled an audible. I saw you, because I was wrong. There's a lot of mitzvahs in this week's parsha.
Who said
so? I'm doing the mitzvah of achilas matzah. The mitzvah of achilas matzah. Okay, the connection to the parsha is pretty obvious. Right?
It's in the parsha.
I know.
What number?
Number 10. Mitzvah Yud. We just started. This week we're going to do the mitzvah of achilas matzah.
Seventh mitzvah in this week's parsha.
Seventh mitzvah in this week's parsha. So I'm just going to start reading from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says as follows.
I'm not going to ask you what we learned.
It's a bezel. Exactly.
Browse.
So the night of the 15th of Nisan. Bin bizmat she'yesham Pesach, o bizmat she'lo yesham. This is a very important line. This line says that there's a mitzvah achilas matzah mide oraisa, both in the times where the Karban Pesach is knowing and the times where Karban Pesach is knowing. So nowadays, Rahman al-Utslan, that we don't have the Karban Pesach because we don't bring Karbanos. However, there still is a mitzvah midoraisa and matzah. This is a big deal. The Chosim Soifer and the Gra, many other Rabbein, were very, very famous for making a big deal out of being very excited about this mitzvah. How many mitzvahs nowadays do we have that are mitzvahs asei midoraisa shavachila? And not just that the Zman. Not just that the Zman. That's what you're saying. So listen, it's a different. Because not. Listen, why is it different? It's different because you guys are going to try to give me examples with a it's not a mitzvah in the food. You're giving me examples of a time that it's a mitzvah to eat midoraisa. But here, matzah is almost like you need a carbon. So the mitzvah I say is the carbon that you're eating. It's a chefta shel mitzvah. Matzah is a chefta shel mitzvah. On Erev Yom Kippur, so you're eating a burger. But the burger is not a chefta shel mitzvah. You're eating the sukkah. The soup that you're eating in the sukkah isn't a chefta shel mitzvah. Masheike by matzah, so again, just something to be, especially this chabur. The guys, the members of this chabur should always be excited. Whenever you do a mitzvah sefer d'oraisa, it's very underrated. It doesn't come off that often. You don't have many. We don't have the opportunity to do many mitzvahs on sefer d'oraisa. Definitely not these types of achila mitzvahs sefer d'oraisa. So it's very good to be conscious to that point. That is point number one. Sefer HaChinuch continues and he says, give him a second. Fine. We'll get to this. So, first thing I want to discuss is, hold on a second. Fine. So, when is the mitzvahs asei midoraisa of matzah? So, the Gra famously explains that the pasuk tells us that you have to eat the first night. Live on the edge.
This some daf for the pasuk, because there are different.
So the Gemara learns down. The Gemara brings it down. The halacha. The only time that there's a chiyuv to eat matzah on Pesach, we know you're not allowed to eat chametz. But do you dafka always have to be eating matzah? No, obviously not. Not every second. So when's the chiyuv to eat matzah? So the chiyuv is only the first night of Pesach. That you have a chiyuv to eat matzah. Whether you like it or not, you are obligated to eat matzah on the first night. However, the Gra says that if you eat matzah throughout Pesach and any of the other days, it's still a mitzvah asei midoraisa, but it's not a chiyuv midoraisa. It's rather just a kiyum midoraisa. Okay? So you have to eat on the first night, but if you eat on any of the other days of Pesach, you're still mekayem mitzvah asei midoraisa. It's just that you're not forced to do that. That's just an important point. Comes up a lot, and it's very important to know the difference between a chiyuv midoraisa and a kiyum midoraisa. Exactly. Yeah. That's why, and the Sefer HaChinuch brings down that you're supposed to be kofes somebody. If somebody says on the first night of Pesach, he does not going to eat matzah, he refuses. So Bezin's supposed to be kofin him. We're supposed to beat him up, force it down his throat, and force him to eat it. Fine.
that's been, is that, does that apply to me? Does Dina Ivor supply you that a regular person performs here? Or Daf Abesta?
So the truth is, I discussed this once with Rav Gantz. I remember me and Rav Shlomila. Rav Shlomila, goddess. We were once discussing, it comes up in Sugis, the whole Sugya of Kofin Aseh. This is a very interesting halacha. Not many people know this halacha, even though I feel like we've discussed it a few times. There's a halacha brought down that Beis Din is supposed to force somebody to do a mitzvah Aseh if he refuses to do it. If somebody says, I refuse to shake the lulav, I'm just not down. Beis Din is supposed to punch him in the face and make sure that he does it. Beat him up until he does it. Say to him matzah. Somebody says, I don't want any matzah. Beis Din is obligated to force him to do matzah. So he asks him down, it's like, why don't we do this now? Why not? So what do we answer like, whatever the Beis Din, but the truth is, it sounds like you really should. So Rav Gantz's answer, I don't know where he gets this from exactly, but he said, I'll tell you what Rav Gantz said. Rav Gantz said that, what's the purpose of forcing somebody to do a matzah? Not just so you get points on the board. And so that eventually you could bring him back, you know, being a from Jew and doing Kawana. He said, that's not, nowadays, the mitzvah, if you just go up to a random guy who's upset and he decides he doesn't want to do any mitzvahs, he doesn't know about the mitzvahs, he's just not interested, and you force him, you beat him up until he does that, it's not going to bring him back. But
should there be an Indian of Chabad like being out there on Leil Hashanah to try to get them to be in a matzah?
For sure.
That's
the matzah.
Fine. Next question. What is the Ikar Achilas matzah? We know we have matzah a few times on Pesach night, right? First time, Kadi Shurka Tabazaka, Magad Ratza, Motzi matzah. That's the first time we have matzah.
Matzah.
Yeah.
Two separate tiers.
Motzi matzah. So the first time you eat is early on the Seder, and then the second time you eat is later on by Tzapa when you meet the Afikomen. There's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. The Rashi and the Rashbam and Tzapim both say that the Iker Mitzvah, the Chilas Matzah, is the matzah that we eat, the Afikomen.
Which is why it's
the matzah and the Rashbam and Tzapim. However, the Rosh in Simen Lamed Daled, Psachim and Arve Psachim, Perik Arve Psachim, says that the matzah that you eat in the beginning of the Seder is the important matzah. And that makes a lot of sense. Because what are you making the bracha on? You're not making the bracha on the Afikomen, but you're making the bracha on the beginning. So there's a question. According to... I forgot. It's in our website.
There's a lot of that in there. It's just going to be a matzah.
Fine. You can look it up after. So, the question is, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, they both say that the Ikar Mitzvah of matzah is the matzah that you eat on the Afikomen. The problem is, you're not making the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah on the Afikomen. You're making the bracha Al Achilas Matzah all the way earlier on in Motzi Matzah. So, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, that the Ikar Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is by the Afikomen, how are you making a bracha all the way earlier on? What's pshat? So here is actually something we mentioned last week, and it's brought up a lot. And a lot of times you have a mitzvah saseh midoraisa, you have the ikar mitzvah, which is a specific shir, okay? But once the Rabbanan brought the mitzvah into practice, they were marchiv the mitzvah midoraisa. One example, a very famous example, is brought by Sifur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a certain amount that you have to say when you're talking about Sifur Yetzias Mitzrayim in order to be mitzvah the mitzvah. But kol hamesaper, meaning kol amarba, harayza meshuvah. If you continue to discuss it here this time, the mitzvah is just more and more and more and more and more. Same thing by matzah. All you have to do is eat a kazayis in order to be yotze yochiyav of matzah. But if you decide to eat more matzah, for all the matzah that you eat, your mekayim mitzvah saseh,
the same exact mitzvah saseh
of matzah, and therefore. Yeah, just the kiyum, but it's still
just the kiyum, not the ikar kiyum. On the rishon prince, the kiyum and the rice on all the rest of the days. There's no kiyum.
You're not mekayim achir. You eat the matzah, but you're still being mekayim with the same the rice on the matzah. And that's why, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, it's not a big deal that you're even able to make a bracha on the earlier, because that, even though that might not be the ikar part of the matzah that goes instituted, but nevertheless, it's still the mitzvah. So what does the matzah symbolize? It is this very famous, it's almost like a paradox. On the one hand, the matzah symbolizes our freedom and chaos and going free, but on the other hand, it symbolizes lechem only, the bread of affliction, four persons bread. It's actually a very nice piece I heard from Rav Raza in the name of the Abu Draham, that the Abu Draham sent in his time. And he lived, I don't know, 400 years, I don't know how.
He's a Rishon.
A long, long time ago. The Abu Draham said that in his time, prisoners in prisons were fed matzah. Which is a cool stat. I mean, he goes, it was a prisoner's type of food.
His mom slept on
him. Yeah. Fine.
Next thing that comes up is the din of Shema.
Shmura matzah, right? So what's that halakha all about? There's a din that you have to make sure that once the wheat is cut. So once the wheat is cut, you have to make sure that water doesn't touch it. And that's the shmira that's going on. So again, there's a big machlokes rishonim when exactly that shmira has to begin. According to the Rif and the Rambam, you have to start washing the wheat as soon as you cut it from the fields. And that's the most machmir opinion. The Rush, however, says you only have to start washing it once you turn the wheat into flour. More makeup. And the Shail, this is the most makeup, says no, even after it's flour, you don't have to wash it. Watch it until you actually decide to use that flour to make bread. It's called Shas Lisha. You have Shas Ketira, Shas Tchina, or Shas Lisha. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that you can't be. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should be machmir like the Rif and the Rambam. Shas Ketira, you could be makeup like the Shail, which is Shas Lisha, but the Mishnah Berurah says that you can't rely on Shas Lisha. You have to at least, even if Shas, you should obviously try to do Shmura Matzah all the way from Shas Ketira, but if you can't even do Shas Tchina, the Shas Lisha is not really an option. We're not so made on that opinion.
Wait, what did Shelta say?
The Shelta says that from Shas Lisha, which is essentially like when you decide that you want to, when you start the matzah making
process. Out of the flour bag?
Yeah, once you take it out of the flour bag, you start it to make the bread. So you have to make sure that water doesn't touch it. Fine, the Shira Achila, how much matzah do you have to eat to be kind of the mitzvah? So obviously the answer is a kazayas.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting question that actually comes up. We know the famous, there's something called Chetzi Shir. And it's usually talked about, we talk about Abiros. Let's say you're not allowed to eat Chazen. So, whenever we're talking about eating, so unless it's a barrier, you're not allowed to eat a Kazayas. So that's otherwise specified for the Torah. So we say it's us to eat a Kazayas of Chazen. It's us to eat a Kazayas of pig. So let's say I want to eat a half a Kazayas of pig. All of a sudden I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't do an Abiros. So we say, no, Chetzi Shir. There's a focus on tomorrow, or Shlakish Rebekah, and if that's a huge answer, me don't write so enough. We're not going to talk about that right now. So here's a very interesting question that the Minchas Tinnah brings up. He says, let's say I don't have enough matzah. I don't have a kazayas of matzah, but I have a half a kazayas of matzah. So is there an Indian of Chetzi Shir to eat a half a kazayas of matzah? The Minchas Tinnah.
Yeah,
in the beginning.
So
I heard quoted in the name of the Shmos Yankiv, it's around the 1700s, but he says that there's no minimum Chetzi Shir when it comes to matzah. So you can't eat a Kazayas matzah, doesn't even pay for you. To eat a half a Kazayas matzah doesn't mean anything. Or the Minchas Chenev says, B'shem Allah Bachronim, he says that no, meaning you should do what you can do. You can't do a full Kazayas matzah. There still is an Indian to eat a half a Kazayas matzah. B'seder.
But you don't feel the missing completely.
What?
You should eat it, you just don't feel the missing completely.
He says, yeah, it can't hurt. That's why you're asking. It can't hurt to do it.
What about the brachos in that case?
He says you shouldn't make a brach.
Hamotis.
All that means is that's
not
eating. It's
fine. There's also a famous discussion in the Shulchan Tzaddishin quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that it says that you have to eat the entire matzah with bas achas. You have to just shove it all down. It's a very, very famous thing that he talks about. I hear Rav Raza quoting it all the time, but he says that Shlomo Zalman says that it's impossible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell you to act, not like a bench. And if that means that you have to scarf down the matzah and shove it down your throat, so you eat it all in one bite, he says there's no way that was a Ratzon Hashem. And so that's what he says, take your time. Eat it with the Achilas Pras, which is not focused how long that is. But you shouldn't take breaks, but you shouldn't be a mess.
Just the first kazayas in the first pass, or both kazayas in the first pass? Motzi and matzah.
Yeah.
fight. But only the first Kazai's wants to be in the Kazai's, a bigger Kazai, so it turns out people say some are really like Kazai's.
Fine. Next thing, we're not really going to discuss it, but the truth is there's something called Matzah Shruya. Matzah Shruya is when you soak your matzah in water. So Matzah Shruya, so the second article brings down this din about Matzah Shruya. You soak your water in matzah. You soak your matzah in water. So the Shulchan Aruch says, as long as it still has the tzura of matzah or bread, it still looks like bread, you're still yotze your mitzvah of matzah. Even though you soaked it in bread and now you messed it up a little bit. But nevertheless, if it still looks like bread, you're still yotze the mitzvah of matzah. So somehow from this, with the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter to eat. You might even be, not only is it mutter to eat and it's not chametz, he doesn't discuss that it's chametz, but not only is that it's mutter to eat, he says you might even be mekayem the mitzvah of matzah by eating it. Somehow, this idiom of gebrachts came up that some people have the minhag to not eat gebrachts, which is when matzah touches water. Again, minhag avosenu biyadeni, you're not supposed to let go of your minhagim, but this is one of those minhagim that it's like, I don't know where, not only me, people are like, I don't know where it started from, and it's pretty weird. But like you said,
what, to not,
you gotta keep to the mitzvah, to not eat gebrachts.
Not eat gebrachts means that you've put...
You're allowed to put your matzah in your soup. Asher tried that. Asher brought. Yeah, that's
easy. Asher is not eating matzah pizza, right?
That means he doesn't get
matzah.
You're missing out. You're missing out on the whole.
No matzah pizza. It's tough. It's a tough life.
So we're saying that in, you know, what Shar's family does is not, like, made up.
Matzah.
Yeah. It's a big level. And it's weird.
All Pesach programs also, like,
nowadays, all the Pesach programs.
Yes.
My mom makes
it. And like,
fine, just end the Asher Shrier special.
Yeah, because my grandfather,
no? Where's the Asher Shrier special?
Oh.
I'm not even going to do this, Smith. It's Parshas Bo, but it comes up a lot. I mean, it's the Sefer HaKinuch's thing, so we have to read it inside. It comes up in the mitzvah of not breaking a bone.
Oh, I got it. Breaking
a bone. Oh,
you ruined it.
It's Kesai. It's Kesai.
So what does he say? Where is it? He says, Nishar Shea Mitzvah. Why are you not allowed to break the bone of a carbon Pesach? What's the deal? What's behind that mitzvah? So he explains. Says Yalkein, B'tchilas Bo'enu Liyot Skulas Kol Ha'amin. That's something good. Nishar Shea Mitzvah. Why are you not allowed to break the bone of the carbon Pesach? So he says, Liskor Nisei Mitzrayim. Remember the mitzvah that happened in Egypt. When you're a king, when you're a prince, and you're eating like a king, so you're not going to, you know, eat the bone and break the bone and eat like a dog.
They don't want
the
man.
Only the poor, hungry people. They're the ones who try to get the last of the chicken off of the bone. But kings, with a fork and knife, they miss some chicken off the bone, the seder. But they're not going to break the bone of the meat that they're eating. V'yalkein. V'tchilas bo'enu liyos segulas kol ha'amim mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. So in the beginning of our commencement to become this chosen nation, we call Shana B'Shana Be'Oto Azman, Ro'i lanu la'asos maisim hamarim banu hamayla hagdola sha'aleinu la be'os ha'shav. So he says, at that time we have to remember, we have to do specific actions that show us that we're a very holy people. And because of the maisim that we're doing, the imagination that we're having, and the fact that we're acting a certain way, that matter will be engrossed in and will be absorbed into our consciousness, and that's what we're going to end up doing. So this is famously known as mice, as
and after one's actions, the heart follows. And a lot of times in life, you go through. Let's talk about in yeshiva. In yeshiva, there's certain times that you feel like you're growing, or you feel like you want to grow. So you want to start doing. You want to start taking certain things on that make you want to grow. But on the other hand, you know, you say to yourself, maybe I'm being a little bit fake. I'm doing things on the outside. I'm doing specific actions, but really, the truth is in my heart and in my soul, I don't really
feel that from the way I'm acting. So you might say, okay, I shouldn't do that. The truth is I should do, it should be real. I should think about everything I do. Everything I should do, I should only do something if I really, really, really feel it on the inside. But the Sefer HaChinuch, he brings up this point many times, and sometimes, and it's psychology proves it also. I've heard this from like people who talked about, like psychologists, they said it, that, let's say, you remember this, that if you smile, you'll become happier. It's a fact. Psychologists, it's just a fact. When you smile, you become happier. That's exactly the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, that sometimes, even if you're not feeling it 100% on the inside, sometimes if you just do the action, you go through the process, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, eventually that becomes a part of you.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah.
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
Why are we... there's a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach and not leave any meat over at the grocery, so why aren't we trying to get every last piece of meat?
Be careful. You gotta be a, try to accomplish more.
Okay, get the matter.
Did your computer die?